Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Time for the 49ers Rush Podcast. And here's your host, John Chapman.
What is going on, faithful? It is absolutely incredible to be with you guys this morning. And man, a lot of news. It's funny because here this is kind of the way the offseason goes. I hate that it's organized this way, but you get no information. You have the draft, and then you get to break down like a lot of that tape, which is fun. I really enjoy that. And we're going to continue breaking down the rookies all throughout the offseason. But then you get this OTA minicamp period, and they just throw every press conference in the world at you within a 24-hour span, and then you go 2 months with nothing. It's just like, man, like what's up with this tidal wave of information and then nothing? There's just complete drought. So, you know, I've gone through it, and that's why this episode's a little later than our typical live time is. Man, I wanted to make sure that I clipped up and got through every single presser and, you know, all the stuff. And instead of just dumping everything on top of everything at once, I wanted to piece things together in a way that fit. So that, you know, not so much the breadth of all the new information that we've received in one day, literally yesterday afternoon and the day before, and try to kind of spread it out as best we can and dive deeper. That's what this podcast's for, right? This is episode 1126 of the 49ers Rush Podcast. And the title today, The Return to Normalcy for the 49ers. Reference from, you know, the Roaring Twenties and all that kind of craziness that took place if you're American history guy. But whatever. So I wanted to dive in today just to a couple very, very key facts and use the players themselves, the coaches themselves, and kind of what they are talking about with the OTAs, the participation, all that stuff. Obviously questions, and we got to conclude. Well, we're in the offseason, man. Offseason means we got to put the nostalgia touch on there. You just got to. And we're going to be talking about number 34. The best number 34, maybe for any team ever at any franchise. Don't care the NFL. Hopefully you guys know who I'm talking about. It's going to be a fun discussion to conclude the show. What's up? Oh, shout out to David with not only the first comment in the chat, but he got the hashtag CC and he complimented my Mavs. That's right, baby. Mavs looking good. Took game one. They haven't won a game one in forever, but man, that was such an entertaining game. I love it. David, appreciate you, man. He says, John, I'm curious your thoughts on the new kickoff rules. Ooh, they could have a major impact on wins and losses. And all, you know, some teams will ace it. Other teams will really be bad at it. This is a big question mark. You are not wrong. And you look at the 49ers were one of three teams to vote against it. 49ers have been terrible, terrible on special teams for 8 consecutive years, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 7 consecutive years. They've been terrible. You look at special teams as a whole, bottom of the league, bottom 10 in the league, 7 consecutive years in a row. Terrible. And what's crazy about that is that's with Mitch Wisnowski having, you know, a top 3 punter year last year, top 5 guaranteed, top 3 is probably where I would put them. But yeah, we've been terrible. Missed kicks, missed extra points, terrible kickoffs, kick the ball out of bounds, can't get touchbacks. You draft a guy to get touchbacks, and then they make touchbacks illegal. yeah, it's been rough. And, you know, I just loaded this as, you know, I was answering that question. This wasn't in the plan for today, but David, because you let off with the mask, because you're a subscriber of the show, and because you're freaking awesome, there we go. I was filling time so that this clip would load so I could share it with you guys. Probably should have said that, but that's okay. Kyle was asked, you know, what do you think about this new kickoff rule? And shoot, let's start the conversation with Kyle, and then we'll take it to where it goes.
I mean, I got a lot of interest because we, you know, it's all new to all of us. And the more you look into it, the more we practice it and stuff and try to simulate the techniques and everything, you realize how different it is. Not just from a technique standpoint, but the space and time and how you stagger the guys and all the different strategies of it. And there's going to be a lot of scheme that pops up throughout the year that it'll be experiment because the scheme is about adjusting to what you see and trying to come up with new things. And it's all going to be new for everybody. And do you coach the kicks like you used to with hang time? Do you want to squib them? There's so many things that we can all talk about and discuss, but you're not going to really know until you try it and stack it up versus teams. And I promise 3 preseason games won't be enough. So, it'll be exciting for everybody, but it's something I think everyone's going to be equally interested in. And we'll.
I'll say this, okay, and this will tie into our conversation a little bit later, just about the culture of the 49ers. The 49ers are not innovators at all on defense or special teams. They refuse to. In fact, Kyle Shanahan hates it more than anything. If you want the one single stat to explain to you what Kyle thinks of special teams, do you know how many fake punts the 49ers have run since Kyle Shanahan is the head coach? How many fake punts have the 49ers run since Kyle Shanahan became the head coach 7 years ago? The answer is zero. Zero. That's not the job of special teams. It's not the job of defense. You guys, vanilla ice cream. I love vanilla ice cream. Don't hate vanilla ice cream, but that's what it is. Offensively, we can do whatever the hell we want. We're going crazy. This is Kyle. And again, like, now I know somebody's like, wait a second. Mitch Wisnowski ran a fake punt this year. Well, that wasn't called, and there was a penalty, so the play was negated, so it never is registered as an official play. And Kyle didn't call that. The special teams coordinator didn't call that. It was just Mitch Wisnowski being freaking Muscle Mitch out there, which I love. So, like, that's the whole idea. So, if we start this conversation on special teams with the 49ers, we're going to be the most vanilla out there. It's going to be don't risk it. Let's figure things out. So, it's going to be high, you know, try to put it at the 5 on the numbers. That's what they're going to try to accomplish. I guarantee you. And then they're just going to play tackle, go make your plays, whatever else. And they have kind of stocked this roster with running backs, safeties, linebackers that should be able to fill those roles relatively well. You know, you have lots of safeties, lots of linebackers, lots of running backs. That's what you want on special teams. Throwing a little bit of tight ends, a little bit of corner, then you're good to go. You want to put some defensive ends out there with hyper-athletic whatever at the back end of the roster. Yeah, ain't got no problems with that. That's what that is going to be. Now, you know, a shout out to Lee, you know, on the way to eliminating kickoffs totally. You know, I thought that's the way they were going to go. This is the opposite way, right? There's always that pendulum where, like, it goes too far, and then they like, all right, let's swing back. I think this is a swing back. This is a recoil, in my own personal opinion, Lee, that this is going to make kickoffs a much more, I mean, we were getting touchbacks probably about 50, 60% of the time last year. That's just off the top of my head. Now touchbacks are illegal. You cannot do that. You kick it out of bounds, they still start at the 40-yard line. And so if you kick a touchback, I think they start at the 30. I think they start at the 30. It was 25. It was 20, then 25, then 30. Like, they're trying to make touchbacks illegal. And what they're doing with moving the two groups so close together, the contact is not as violent. If that makes sense, you don't have full speed running into each other. You know, and talk about just the difference. You know, I would not have made varsity if not for kickoff. That's where I got my start. Like, I was the wedge buster. You're not even allowed to do that anymore. That was John Chapman's sole purpose. I was the tone setter for my team. And I wasn't athletic. I wasn't fast. I wasn't big. But damn, I was mean. And dang, I loved violence. It's just what it was. And so I was the guy that was just the wedge buster, which you used to be able to do everywhere. Can't do that anymore. And so the innovation continues. I'm not mad about that. I love this rule. It is bad for the 49ers. Remember, they voted against it. This hurts the 49ers more than most because we just spit that damn pick on that kicker, the highest pick in the past decade for a kicker. And one of the reasons why he drafted was because of the length of his leg on kickoffs. Now he can't do that anymore. No more touchbacks. And so, and right here, Mike, big Harding man. No, absolutely not. No. I am very anti-Harding. However, I mean, I studied a lot of them, so that's where that is. But you got to give it to the slogan. The slogan's fire. Return to normalcy? Policy domestic? Hell no. I'm out on that one. But anyway, I was an economic thought in my master's degree, so I might know a little bit, but just enough to get me into trouble. Not enough to be an expert by any way, you know, stretch or form. But yeah, anyway, not a Harding guy at all. Lee, yeah, one, and that was an accident. That's correct. So Mike, you know, he continues, vanilla's great. Big Chocolate's efforts to make us think vanilla is played as a conspiracy. Oh, Mike, there we go. We're getting the tinfoil hat out for all ice cream flavors. I ain't even mad. See, vanilla's great. It just needs a little extra. You put some chocolate chip cookie dough in there. It's the best thing that's ever been made. It's the best thing that's ever been made. There's nothing better than that. Lee, the window dressing was player safety, and now it's semi-XFL rules. I don't mind that. The XFL, I think, does a handful of things much better than the NFL does. The NFL has traditionally been a little bit more stick in the mud, like this is what we do, and we're not going to change it, and continuity, and whatever else. A lot of the things you do is bad. Like, you know, they have the chips in the phone or in the phone. They have the chips in the football and they have the chip in the chains. Like that should be a digital process and they're ready for it. They've been experimenting with it, but now they're just now going to start to make that available. But they're again, trial basis, like move forward, get the refs out of the game, get them out. Awful. Just terrible. Like, and there's been slow innovation to that, but the less the refs have to do with the game, even if it's something as simple as chains, nobody is here. Nobody watches football. Nobody buys hats to watch the refs' impact on the game. And so any way you can get them out, the better the game will be, period. Get those guys other jobs in the NFL. And if you don't know much about NFL refs, they all have careers. You, in fact, have to have an established career and financially stable before you're even allowed to apply to be an NFL ref. So I ain't worried about them. Get them the hell out of here. You're always going to need help there, but nobody comes to the games to watch the refs. Nobody. Anyway, want to calm down just a little bit there. Anyway, right here. What's up, Rick? Good morning, John. Good afternoon. How are you? I'm great, man. Said, let's go, Niners. Let's go. Yes. I freaking love that. Awesome, Rick. Now, OTAs are taking place. Organized team activities. Voluntary. Shanahan's going to tell you voluntary with every negative question. But there's some stuff we can take away. And I want to say shout out to Sterling Bennett of 49ers Access. He has been awesome. I think he's one of, by far, the most transparent, great people that cover the Niners. He's a younger dude. But great job, man. He put out, this was a few days ago, and it changes day by day, but this is the most recent, most complete list of players not at OTAs or not practicing, okay?
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
So people that were not around for OTAs, and this was day two, now we're in day four, but Brandon Ayuk, not there, obviously contract situation. Juwan Jennings, contract situation, not there. No issues with that whatsoever. Trent Williams never goes. Mooney Ward, not there. Last year of his deal, not necessarily in a contract situation. He's already come out and say he was on Kay Adams' show. Shout out to Kay Adams. She always has Niners on, which is awesome. I think she's really good at her job too, but he was all there talking about, you know, if I ball out this year, then I'm going to get the bag. And so, yeah, there you go. Like, they're not holding out there. So he's fine. Dre Greenlaw out, obviously the injury. Now the players in street clothes, Fred Warner, not an issue. You know, linebacker one, George Kittle, coming off that surgery. But you know, not too concerned about him long-term. He's going to be just fine. And Jacob Cowing, that one's weird. And nobody asked a question. Nobody asked a question. Like, I don't understand. Like, why is Cowing not practicing? Is it injury related, personal? Like, he's there, but he's in street clothes. What's going on there? And, you know, I really wish Kyle would have been available to the media, which he was. And I don't understand why certain of these questions just don't ask, but it's what it is. It's what it is. Now, nobody asked Kyle about it, but they did ask Brock what it's been like throwing with Cowing, because they have been throwing together, but for some reason, Jacob's just not practicing, the rookie, during OTAs. No clue what the issue there. Whether that's injury, no clue. Nobody knows. But here are the positives with quarterback one. And how cool is it? Return to normalcy. No quarterback drama this offseason. It's a beautiful thing. And I think it's been 7 years. 7 years. What, the old Titanic meme? It's been 84 years. Yeah, whatever it is. I don't know how many years. I don't think it's 84. Was it? I don't know. But it's been a long time. But we got our guy, and I am so pumped about it. Now, here's Brock talking about Jake Cowing, the rookie. And kind of what stood out.
He's quick. He's twitchy. And just, I'm impressed with just, you know, the way he's acted and interacted with guys. Very smart, very respectful, and a guy that I could tell he's going to get after it in terms of knowing what his job is. And as a quarterback, I feel like, you know, you're always looking for a guy that you can trust. And so, I've seen that so far from him. I'm excited to see what he can do just in terms of taking off top and running downfield and everything once we get to it. So I'm really excited to have him.
I've been very adamant that if there was a rookie sleeper or whatever that most people need to be paying more attention to, it's Jacob Cowing. I really do think he is an ideal, perfect fit in this offense with Brock Purdy's skill set. Now, I'm not saying, you know, he's going to have a better year than Ricky Pearsall or whatever else. No, that's not what I'm saying at all. But I do think Cowing is long for this 49ers franchise. And I think that he is a great fit. The problem man, he could be using these snaps. And it's just like, ah, huge opportunity missed because Jennings ain't there. You want to put him in the slot. Ayuk isn't there. You want to put him at X, which I think those are his two natural receiving spots. It's a missed opportunity. And you don't fault the player. You fault the missed opportunity. You know what I'm saying? And so as I go through a couple of these other players and I get a little upset, I'm not upset at the player. I'm upset at the opportunity that is missed. Carpe diem, baby. You got to seize the day. Sometimes your body says, nope, not today. But it's a huge missed opportunity. Now, the players that were in the gym or on the side field working out because they're rehabbing, Talano Hufanga, which that's really good news. You know, off the ACL, the fact that he's already there, you know, we'll have no idea what his lateral movements are coming off an ACL because you can tear your ACL and still sprint. It's the lateral stuff. Hopefully we'll get some workout videos, but Talano is not the type of guy to leak videos or workouts or whatever. That's just not who he is. I mean, dude dressed up incognito repeatedly on Fridays just to go watch high school football games in the Bay Area without telling people. Like, gosh, how much? There is no way you could like anybody more than Talano Hufanga. Like, is there anybody in the world that looks at Hufanga and is like, I don't like him? You know what I mean? Like, he's just such a cool human. But I'm glad that he's back. I feel like this is a very positive thing. But again, I really wish we would know what's happening there. Is there any lateral movements whatsoever taking place? That will let us know what stage of the workouts he's in coming off that ACL. But that's a positive. Drake Jackson, probably one of the biggest negatives. Now, he had the torn meniscus, and he had surgery. Man, meniscus, that's 6 months, 4 to 6 months. And so, I mean, he was put on IR, season-ending IR, back in, like, December. When was his last game? Because the timetable, I think, will help with this. I can't believe, yeah, maybe they're just taking it slow with them. And again, defensive line, by far the least profitable during OTAs, like for what you get out of what's happening out there. Like, yeah, I've talked about this in the past. Like, probably, nah, I wouldn't even put running backs up there. Like, defensive line gains the least from OTAs, like the absolute least. Just defensively, linebackers, DBs gain the most. Offensively, I wouldn't even say O-line gains the least because they have to work together. D-line, not near as much. Not near as much, especially in our system. But, you know, looking at Drake Jackson, his last game played in was October 29th in 2023. So that was October. Man, he didn't even play in November, December, January, any of the playoffs. He's been out for a long time. That's a long, I mean, you're talking 7 months minimum. If you want to be honest, it's closer to 8 months. It's a meniscus. I don't know the date of his surgery. Maybe that's what complicates things a little bit. But meniscus, I don't know. Maybe they're just playing safe. But I'm telling you right now, Drake Jackson, he needs to be out there, man. That dude needs this more than anybody. Yeah, huge missed opportunity. Not mad at Drake. Not mad at Drake. Mad at the opportunity Drake's missing. The body is the body. That's what it's going to be. So huge missed opportunity there. You know, let me put it this way. Let's go. You know, we're doing our 90, you know, person roster countdown. Drake Jackson came in at 52. 52. He's a bubble fringe player on this roster. I do believe he'll make the roster. He came in at 52. That's not good. You know, we had four rankers. His highest ranking was 48. His lowest was 55. So we're all right around that fringe territory. Ah, huge miss. Huge miss. Yeah, it's huge miss. Now, next up, Cameron Latu. Jeez, man. You know, he had the knee injury. Quote, kind of like, anyway, we do this to a player every year. You're injured, bro. You're going on IR. We're going to bring you back next year. The fact he is still not practicing, and you remember somebody asked, I don't want to say it's a dumb question, but it was a dumb question. Somebody asked Kyle a couple, like right after the draft, So is Cameron Latu your number two tight end? And Kyle laughed at him, literally laughed at the person asking the question and said, no, you got to at least practice for us first. And now it makes even more sense. Still not practicing. You're talking about the worst player in all of training camp for the entire 90-man roster last year, dead last. You know, they healthy scratch him. Seventh rounder beats him out, Braden Willis. And then you go into the offseason, you try to upgrade your tight end too. Doesn't work. Detroit matches it. You know, the draft goes the way it goes. Nothing's really there. You bring in Eric Sobeir, who's going to, you know, probably be that tight end too. But then you come out to OTAs, and he's still not practicing. Not mad at Cameron Latu. Mad at the opportunity that this cat's missing, and he needs it. And this is huge. Kittle's not practicing. You could be out there getting so many reps with Brock and the ones and the twos. Gosh, man. It's Charlie the Chocolate Factory, but I got a golden ticket, right? Like, and guess what? Cameron's got it. Some reason not practicing. Ah, man. Just, this is your chance, bro. And you're not mad at Cameron. I keep saying that because you want to be mad at the player. You want to be like, we all want Cameron Latu to succeed because that helps our team be better. If Cameron Latu is what this coaching staff thought he was, the team would improve. The problem is Daryl Green. They are who we thought they were. He is who we thought he was, which was a crazy, terrible waste of value draft pick. And you saw it last year in training camp, and you hope that they'll rebound, and it was just a learning curve issue. But now you can't even get this opportunity. And that is what just hurts so stinking bad. And I feel for the kid, man. Jake Brindle's out. That one, knee arthritis, never good when you're in your 30s. But they have moved John Feliciano to center. And now we know, thanks to Matt Barrows, the legend, that Dominique Puny is getting backup snaps at right guard. There we go. That's what I'm talking about. All right. You know, I told everybody, the number one thing you take away from OTAs is where the rookies are lining up. We knew he'd be guard. But man, if Feliciano has issues, Dominique Puny at center. Feliciano at center, Dominique Puny at right guard. I think that's the best five for the 49ers starting, but probably not until October. Yeah, I don't want, like, even if Jake Brindle couldn't go early, yeah, Feliciano at center, awesome, but I'm probably putting Spencer Burford at right guard. I don't want a rookie starting O-line, personally, unless they just, man, go out there and show the consistency is there, but guess what the biggest problem with Spencer Burford's game is? Consistency. He was better as a rookie than he is, you know, year three. So, yeah, we'll see there. But I doubt the 49ers would go out there week one with the starting rookie on the offensive line. I just don't see it. That's not Forster's way. That's not Shanahan's way. But we're starting to get a little bit of the tea leaves into how this could shake out. And I know somebody's listening saying, oh, and I keep getting this. Every time I post something about Feliciano playing center, people are like, he's terrible at center. And so I went and looked at it. 2022, he was the starting center, I think, for like 12 or 14 games for the Giants, which the Giants were terrible. He was awesome. He wasn't awesome. He was better than Jake Brindle is. I would take 2022 John Feliciano center play over Jake Brindle. Why? Because in the run game, Jake Brindle is and continues to be a huge liability. In the pass game, consistently beat but doesn't get the quarterback hit. Good with calls. And Jake Brindle always gets where he's supposed to go. He just can't stay there. He'll get to the second level on that combo block to the linebacker. He'll get there every time. He ain't going to stop him from literally tossing him aside and getting the stop. Like, he limits so many plays from being, instead of a 9-yard gain, it's a 4-yard gain. That's my issue in the run game. Jake Brindle's good. He's good. But he's a below average center at best, and now he's got knee arthritis. The ceiling play for Jake Brindle is non-existent. It's not there. It never has been there. Yeah, he's all right. You can plug him in there as a value play, and that's what the Niners have done. But no. He's not. Anyway, let's see here. Before I jump forward, I've gone way too long without talking to some of these comments, so sorry about that. Aaron, he says, you know, John, speaking of Huff, is this the most talented secondary has been in the Shanahan era? Yes. Depth, top-end talent, 100%. You know, you look back at that 2019 team that went and competed in the Super Bowl with Sherm and Jimmy Ward and all that stuff. Like, this blows that out of the water. You know, Charvarius Ward now versus Sherm. I'm taking Ward. Sherm was amazing in the technique. And, you know, they even talked about that. I didn't cut this clip. But, no, this is the depth by a mile. And I think the top end. And with all the rookies. Now, this secondary is by far the best. By far the best. Ben, hey, John, I know you probably graded our draft picks, but can you give me a quick grade? Oh, Ben, you know I hate grades, man. I taught for a living, and I hated it. I never do grades, man. But you want an overall grade? I'd say B minus, C plus. I did think it was a very good use of resources. However, they found great fits at positions of need next year. So it's a red shirt, team fit need that neglected value, but found guys with a lot of playing experience that fit the culture and eventually will play into that. Now, are there all pros in this draft? We'll see. Hard to grade that way, but I'd say B minus. I like the moves that they made. And I like the players, but I did feel like they left a little bit on the board. If they offensive line, we'll see. Defensive line, didn't touch it. So I'd say B minus if I was going to be honest, but I'm not a grades guy. I'm sorry. Lee, Drake spending time in the rat beef. I think it's a different Drake, but I love it. Right here, Bronson. Did not like seeing Cam Lawton on the Lions sideline before the game even ended. Ooh, I was at that game. I didn't pay attention to that. But I think he has a cousin that plays. I could be wrong. But, yeah, I don't know. I don't know much about that one. So I'm gonna stay away. Drake, quadriceps surgery, end of February, according to Mayoko. Oh, I thought it was a meniscus. Okay, there we go. Thank you. Right here, Logan. What's up, bro? He says, hey, Chapman, how do you feel about Robert Beal Jr.? I like him. I like him more than Drake Jackson. Think he can get meaningful snaps this season. I mean, Drake Jackson got, I think, like 8 snaps in the Super Bowl. So that lets you know kind of where they like him. And I think that he's going to finally be able to just do his specialty, which is speed edge rusher. Like, that's all I want from him. That's it. For now, like, you get that under space. Then you can grow into something else. But whenever you added guys like Leonard Floyd, he's a true 3-down defensive end. Yetur Gross-Matos, it's a base defensive end. Like, you got those two guys. Now Drake Jackson and Robert Beal, they're competing for that pass rush specialist. Injuries are going to happen for sure. But, like, you know, my depth chart at the defensive end, it's Nick Bosa, Leonard Floyd, huge gap. Then Yetur Gross-Matos, Robert Beal Jr. Then you got Drake Jackson coming in and, you know, whatever else. But, like, yeah, it's interesting. That's an interesting one right there, how it's going to come. But I'm excited. Oh, look at this, Trey Lance Monday. Oh, that is an awesome tag. Oh, man, ouch. Right here, Logan, Mason Plyne bandwagon, here I come. Yeah, Mason Plyne, like, there's room here. The 49ers keep 4 tight ends consistently. And their initial 53 and on their active 53. If that's the case, just play the numbers. Like, yeah, Kittle, Locke, obviously. Eric Salbert, I think he's pretty damn close to a lock, especially what he does on special teams. Braden Willis, I mean, Cameron Latu's not beating out Braden Willis. Couldn't do it last year when he was healthy. Now he's not even practicing. Braden Willis has a full year practicing under his belt. Mason Plyne, like, it's Mason Plyne versus Cameron Latu. That's where we're at. Like, yeah. And I'm not going to be shocked when we add another tight end. Right here, Bronson, you know, should have went O-line with that Latu pick. Should have went anything. You take back that Latu pick and the kicker pick. Ah, yeah. And, you know, and I understand I'm always going to give beef to the kicker pick, not because of Jake Moody. Understand that. I think Jake Moody's going to be our kicker for 10 years. I just think you don't draft a kicker that high. That's not an anti-Jake Moody take. It's an anti-kicker take. That's all, especially now with the rule change. That made it even worse. That made it even worser. Worcester. All right, Diego. Hey, John, hadn't caught a long show in a long time. Welcome, man. To be honest, I hadn't consumed any Niners content until last week. I didn't even know the draft was happening until the night of. I'm definitely pumped now, ready for the season. Everybody's on a different path to recovery. like, that's just the realization of life, and that's okay. But, Diego, I just want to say I'm glad you're here. That's why we're the faithful, baby. But we all take our time. We all take our time. What's up, Dave? How you doing, man? Drake Nugent could also play center if we need to. He could. The idea of an undrafted free agent starting center or even making this initial roster is difficult because we got a lot of guys that can play center now. Ben Barch can play. Feliciano can play. You know, I don't know if you want to say Nick Zekiel can play. You know, Dominique Puny, they said he could play, and they see him eventually could be a center. There's a lot of guys, but I do like Drake Nugent. I think for him, his best case is practice squad. And the fact that they cut Corey Luciano, who was our number three safety last year, or number three center last year, like, he's gone. So the fact Drake Nugent, like, that's plus there, in my opinion. So, David. Feliciano has played more center than guard in his career. I did not know that. Johnny Carson, anybody know? Cold-blooded. Thanks for the super chat. Still have the Super Bowl hangover, but excited for this season. What do you think about the starting linebacker group and what that looks like? Ooh, see you in Buffalo. That's right, baby. 40 Hours Rush podcast. Oh, we will be there. 40hoursrushroadtrip.com. Go get your tickets. I bought all of my airline tickets and all my hotel, like Airbnbs. I'm broke. Oh, man. Travel is pricey, but that's okay because of experiences and because of what we're doing and just created for the community. Thank you, Cold-Blooded, for the super chat. I really do appreciate it. You know, the linebacker group, it's not bad, to say the least. I really like it now. Okay, and I had this clip queued up. So let's jump over. This is Johnny Holland, the linebacker coach, talking about violence. And this is going to help me answer your question.
We, our coaches, that we want to be physical and we want to be violent and we want to put it on tape. And, you know, that if you hear, and that's what you're going to see, our players, how we play defense. And most players, they want to play that way. And but we demand it, and it shows on tape that how we play, the violent part of our game, how we play. So, and I'm sure players are excited to play in this system. I always tease our players, man. I wish I could have played in a system like this when I was a player, but they get a lot out of it.
The violence, right? And so he even talked about, and I'll cue this clip later, not today's show. He talked about how Dre Greenlaw is what we are. Like, Dre Greenlaw is who we are. And so Devondre Campbell stepping into that, you know, Devondre Campbell's played more than, you know, Fred Warner has. He's been in the league 9 years. It's incredible. And so you're talking about somebody that's a seasoned vet. So it's a little bit different. It's, you know, Devondre Campbell brings length and veteran consistency, whereas Dre Greenlaw brings explosiveness and violence, right? Tone setter. Devondre Campbell's not necessarily that, but he fits us. But Dre Greenlaw might be the meanest player in the NFL with pads on. So you're not getting that. But this linebacker group's awesome. And the depth is there too. You know, who's going to be that number three early until Dre Greenlaw comes back? Now, once Dre Greenlaw comes back, you move Devondre Campbell to the Sam. And, you know, again, you know, we're talking Super Bowl hangover in your comment. Man, you go back to the 2019 Super Bowl, the worst player on the 49ers team. Yeah, it was our third linebacker spot, right? That's what it was. What's his name? Oh, goodness. His name's right there. I see Quan Alexander rushed back from that pec injury and wasn't ready. He was awful. He was terrible. One of the worst games of his entire career came in the Super Bowl. Now you go to this most recent Super Bowl, what happened? 49ers dominated. Dre Greenlaw gets hurt. Once that happened, that's when Travis Kelce got involved. All these things changed. So start of the year linebacker core, it's going to take some getting used to with some new blood there. But, man, you talk about playoff version potential with Dre Greenlaw back, Devondre Campbell. You got three young pups, Tatum Bethune, the rookie. You know, who's going to make it out of D winners? Jalen Graham. You got DFF right there, Curtis Roberts. Like, man, we say this every year we were cutting down to 53. You could trade a linebacker. You could trade a linebacker. Like, that could happen. Yeah, David, I appreciate this comment. Grading the draft can't happen until 2 years after the draft. I do like that. Bronson. Braden Willis was a favorite of Jalen Hurts, so I wouldn't be surprised if he moves up the depth chart. Yeah, he was. He played the Kyle Juszczyk / George Kittle role for OU. It was the leader of that team. Like, he is a culture fit, a gold helmet guy. You know, I freaking love that, man. Pete, talking about, you know, I'm more bummed about the Hargrave signing. We'll see. We got to see what happens, because Javon Hargrave was pretty consistently good, you know, in the 2023 season. He just got really bad when the playoffs came. And so how much of that do we care? I mean, he had 7 sacks, 8 tackles for loss. That's good. 14 quarterback hits, second in all those numbers on our team. Like, that's good. Played in 16 games. That's great. But, yeah, you want more. Right now, it's looking like a bad signing. It really, really is. It's looking like a terrible signing. But it's not over yet. We still got 2 more years. Not sure that's a good thing. But that's okay. Lee, McKivitz gets hurt. What's the plan? Actually, got great depth. Got great depth. Yeah, Jalen Moore behind him. And you just brought on, you know, the tackle with the ridiculous Chris Hubbard, who's played in, man, how many games? Let me see here. 94 games played. Like, yeah, like, you've got 2 tackles right there. And, you know, I don't think, a little less likely now with the center being out, because Burford's taking first team right guard snaps, but I wouldn't mind Burford getting some right tackle snaps either. But with Brindle out, that makes it where Burford's got to play right guard. But no, I'm not too worried about the depth at tackle. Like, and that's the thing. Our number one tackle is Trent Williams. That's the best of the business. Our number 2 tackle, Colton McKivitz. Yeah, he's, you know, bottom level tier starter. But our number 3 and 4 tackles are pretty all right. Like, I'm not concerned about those guys. Now, do you want them starting? No. But tackle's the most devoid of talent position in the NFL. There might be 30 good tackles in the NFL. That's it. And I'm talking right and left. Well, 64 tackles start every single week. There's like 30 good ones. We have 1. I don't think that we have 2. But I'll come out and say it, and I've said it over and over again. My biggest issue isn't with Colton McKivitz on this offensive line. It's Jake Brindle. Jake Brindle is far less consistent, not in pass rush or pass protection, but in overall. I'll take Colton McKivitz. Now, you put Colton McKivitz next to Spencer Burford, that's a red flag. That's not positive. You put Colton McKivitz next to John Feliciano, now Colton McKivitz, he's a better player than Jake Brindle. I don't know. You disagree with me, and a lot of people do, and that's okay. Disagreements are a good thing. Right here, it says, Gold Blood, John, I'm staying in Canada day before the game and Buffalo day of. Ooh, I like that. It's right there, man. Yeah, enjoy Canada. Come tailgate with us out there. I'm super pumped about this, man. Oh, we're going to be having such a good time. And, you know, if you haven't gotten your tickets yet, man, come on, guys. Come party with us. All right, 49ersRushRoadTrip.com is live. Tickets are available for all of our road trips this year. Just go to 49ersRushRoadTrip.com. Click here for tickets. brings you to our landing page here, and you can see all the events that we're doing. And so once you pick an event, you just click on 49ers Bucks, scroll down, you can see our pre-party, you can see our tailgate, you pick what you want to do there, and right now the prices are as low as they're ever going to be. They only go up. So we got early bird pricing till we sell a certain number of tickets. You can check out there, you get a QR code ticketing site, which we built ourselves, which I'm so excited about, is incredible. Now, if you want more, you can click on our True Fan travel link. And so let's say you want to go to Tampa. And you can kind of see, you can put your deposit down now. Flights, transportation, hotel, parties, all that stuff, game ticket, you name it, it's there. It's a $300 deposit per city. And you've got several weeks for a refund policy if you want to, as we build out these packages. And once we built that out, then we'll give you that opportunity to, hey, do you want in? Do you not want in? And then we'll move on from there. So lots of options are available for you guys. 49ersRushRoadTrip.com. Go party with the faithful. That's what's up. I'm excited about this. And, you know, early bird pricing for some of the events is already almost up. And I appreciate you guys going out there. So if you want to save money, it's only going to go up in price. That's it. We select a certain allotment of tickets. When those sell, then it bumps the next price tier, all that stuff. And so all the games I'll be at, I want to be at the Vikings road game, Seahawks road game, Bucks road game, Bills road game, Cardinals road game. But we're partnering again. I talked about how we're partnering with True Fan Travel, which is awesome. And so I'm not going to be at the Dolphins game. But it doesn't mean we're not working our tail end off building out a full entire trip. And, you know, this trip, it's up. This trip is up. So you can go book this one now. We're doing it one at a time. Hotel, to and from your hotel. We're putting together a night before boat cruise, all inclusive. 49ers player is going to be joining this bad boy, which is going to be fun. We're going to have a pep rally the night before, all inclusive tailgate, game ticket included. All this stuff is there. Refund policy, all that stuff's on there. Working with X Hospitality and True Fans. So that is in the link of the in the description of this video audio platform. We're going to build out something like this for every single trip, but I'm wanting to get something for, I couldn't do the Miami trip because of the holidays, but that doesn't mean Niners fans won't be. And so I want to make sure there's a healthy space and place for people to get together, because Miami's a difficult city. It's so spread out. It's kind of like LA, where the stadium's very far away from all the touristy fun downtown activities. So it's a hodgepodge. So if you are going to Miami, we got you. You want to travel by yourself? We got you. Check out the True Fan thing in the description of this video. Thank you, Mike. Appreciate it. It says awesome work. Sounds awesome. It's going to be great, man. Anyway, Corey says normal. Is it CMC holding out? Who the world said that? No, he's getting married. Now, he does have zero guaranteed dollars on his contract. But, man, no, Corey. No. If that's out there, that's completely conjecture. That's never been put out there at all from the player, the representative, the 49ers, whatever. Should some contract work be redone? And here's another thing. Like, again, contract work's not going to be done until after January 2nd. It's May 23rd. Why after? Because we don't get the $18.5 million from the Armstead release until that time period. So you got to wait. It's going to take time. And we got time. Right now it's OTAs. Like, man, you know, we got time. But no, Christian McCaffrey, not worried about him being in shape. Not worried about any of his stuff. He's getting married to Miss Universe. Like, good Lord. Incredible. What a cool dude. Right here, Tobias. John, what do you think it would cost for Michael Mayer? Would Elijah Mitchell at a fourth be enough? No. Michael Mayer's awesome. You know, I think he was picked 35th overall by the Raiders last year. And I'm not sure they want to give away young assets. I know they drafted Brock Bowers because they're a terrible franchise. The Raiders are just so funny. You know, I live in East Bay, and I see, like, a lot of Raiders stuff. And I'm always just like, man, why would you – like, I get – staying a fan of the team that you grew up with. But, like, what's their slogan, right? Raider Nation. Isn't that what they call themselves? And it's like, it makes sense. Like, Raiders move across the nation consistently because they don't have success anywhere they go. Oakland, LA, Oakland. Now you're in Vegas. And the only reason why good things are happening in Vegas is because everybody wants to go party and then go to a football game. It's like, I've been to two games in that stadium. And both times I saw a handful of fights, and it was all the Raiders fans fight Raiders fans. So yeah, Raiders Nation, Raiders keep moving across the nation until you find a place you're welcome. Anyway, but yeah, I would take Michael Mayer. I would trade a third in Elijah Mitchell. Man, I might trade a second. Nah, probably not a second. I'd trade a third in Elijah Mitchell today for Michael Mayer. Oh my gosh. That would be incredible. I would take that. Oof. Yeah, Mike says, you know, way more Raiders stuff still than I'd hope. And we'll see. We'll see how that goes. Gold-blooded. John, when's the best time to book flights? Now. Now. Wait for game tickets. Buy hotels and flight tickets now. They've already jumped up already. Now, always wait till Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. So if you haven't yet, if you're not going to book today, don't buy airline tickets on the weekends ever, unless you have to. But whenever you're planning out, wait. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday usually drop a little bit. And pay attention there. That's what I would recommend. So, man, I've got so many more notes, but that's a whole nother episode. So I'm going to wait. I don't want to brush through the meat and potatoes of this episode. I'll just redo the second half of this episode later. But I want to stick with our nostalgia bit. And, you know, we're just continuing through slowly. You know, we ain't got no end date. We did 1 through 30 last year. Now we're on 34. And we do this, the best person or player to ever wear this number, number 34 in all of 49ers history. And, you know, when number 34 got retired in the 60s. So not a lot of players to choose from. I think there's only four players in the history of the 49ers to ever wear number 34. Started off with Eddie Forrest in the 40s. He was a guard for 2 years. Local San Francisco kid, struggled kind of finding some of that stuff, but he was one of the very first 49ers. You know, 46, that was the first year for the 49ers to be in the NFL. Visco Grigic, from 46 to 52. Here's one of my favorite things is because the NFL's changed so much. He had one Pro Bowl, zero All Pros, but listen to the positions that he played. Okay. I don't know what position this is. I know he played guard. Okay. I get that. He played tackle. He played linebacker. What is MG? Can somebody please help me? What is MG? I've Googled, I've searched, I've used Pro Football Reference, Wikipedia. This is back in the 40s and 50s, mind you. What position? I'm calling the faithful. I need your help. What position is MG? I have no middle guard. I know we ran the T back then. I don't know. I don't know what that is. So I don't know. Hopefully somebody can help me or email me. Yeah, middle guard was my thought, but I could get no like validation. Thank you, Celestial. Like I couldn't figure it out. I don't know, but back to Visco, first Yugoslavian player in the NFL. That's pretty cool. Member of the original 49ers team in 46, known for his halftime speeches at Kezar. And it was fun reading up on some of his stuff because there are a couple articles out there on there. He was notorious for hitting walls, doors, posts in Kezar. And the legend was the fans could feel whenever he'd hit it, because the wooden post in the locker room was underneath the stands, I guess, apparently. This is way before my time, so I'm out of my comfort zone here. But the fans could feel it upstairs, sitting there while they were doing their halftime downstairs, speeches and stuff, which is really, really cool. So shout out to Visco. And then Bill Cooper, he was from 61 to 64. He was a fullback linebacker. Everybody played two ways back then. But what happened, Joe Perry left the 49ers, and we're going to talk a lot about Joe Perry. Joe Perry is with the Niners since 52. He left and was traded to the Colts, Baltimore Colts, and then came back to the Niners. And so whenever he left, Bill Cooper took 34. And when Joe Perry came back, he gave it back to Joe Perry. And then nobody ever wore that after him. And they very soon retired his number. Yeah, Joe Perry is the correct answer. Attaboy Bronson. I love that. Yeah. Middle guard makes the most sense. Diego left out. Middle guard. I'm getting the most middle guard. Oh, here we go. ChatGPT. Tobias, I don't know if I should read this. The middle guard plays a vital role in the interior of the defensive line. Maybe he did play defense. Nose guard maybe is what that was. So, yeah, there we go, ChatGPT. So, defensive position maybe? That's what he played? I don't know. All right, let's talk Joe Perry. And I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to tell you how many pages I wrote. I had an absolute freaking blast. I knew who Joe Perry was. I know the million-dollar backfield. I know what that is. I know that he was MVP. I know his number was retired. I know he's a Hall of Famer. I know those things. I didn't know that much about him. I really, really didn't. I doubt I'm going to get through everything. But let's list some of his, I won't say important accolades, but biggest accomplishments, okay? This is Joe Perry, the Jet, baby. Joe the Jet Perry played from 52 to 63. He did have a two-year stint with the Baltimore Colts, but came back. Hall of Famer, first year Hall of Famer in 1969. One of 12 players, numbers, that have been retired for the 49ers. One of 12. And you think about some of the beasts of the beasts, like, it's incredible the people that he's been around. His jersey was retired in 71, but nobody ever wore it after 63. Three Pro Bowls, two All Pros. He was a 1954 MVP, which is so cool. He was third the year before for MVP votes. So 53, he was third place. 54, he won it. Listen to these names. This is so cool, man. And I love that Pro Football Reference is just fire. They should sponsor me. I should sponsor them. But great website. If you're a nerd, just type in PFR, go to Pro Football Reference, and just click around for a while. It's so fun. And yeah, we're talking about Joe the Jet Perry. Listen to these MVP votes for 1954. Joe Perry won with 20%. Otto Graham, 13%. Ollie Mattson, 4%. Bobby Lane, 3%. Luz Groza. I'm sure I pronounced his name wrong, but I know who he is. Y.A. Tittle, who was the Niners quarterback, got 2% of the vote. Doak Walker and Hugh McElhinney. 1%. So three 49ers got MVP votes. That was the million-dollar backfield, which nowadays is quarterback, running back, sometimes fullback. But back in the day, there were four. You know, they played the T, right? It was the old T backfield where double tight, right? So you've got your center, two guards, two tackles, two tight ends, your quarterback, and then you had three backs. You had the fullback. The roles have changed consistently, but the fullback was in the middle. That was Joe Jet Perry. And your blocking backs were the halfbacks on the sides of the fullback. So on the left side, you have a running back or halfback, and on the right side, you have that. They were the blockers, and the primary running back was the fullback. It's a trip. And side note, just off the top of my head, I think the 49ers have the best fullbacks in NFL history, period, bar none. You've got Roger Craig was drafted as a fullback. You got William Floyd. You got Joe Perry. You got Kyle Juszczyk. Like, oh, come on, man. I never thought about this. I just popped into my head. But anyway, all that being said, you know, you had the million-dollar backfield, which I already talked about, Y.A. Tittle, Hugh McElhinney, Joe the Jet Perry, and John Henry Johnson. Those all guys were in the backfield. Guess what? They all made the Hall of Fame. Every single one of them. All four, the only entire backfield in NFL history still to this day, where everybody made the Hall of Fame. It's incredible. They were known as the Fabulous Foursome or the Million Dollar Backfield, which the reason why they called that is because you added up all their salaries, equal to $1 million. Finally. Oh my gosh. Tom Rathman. I forgot Tom Rathman. I apologize to the faithful and to Rathman. I apologize greatly. I have fudged up. I love Rathman so much. And so, man, that was a huge miss on my part. If this was not a live show, I would delete the entire hour and I would go back and start over just because of that moment. which is probably a good thing that this is a live show, so I don't have to do that. But I'm telling you, in the past, you know, whenever I first started recording this show, we started back in 2017. Like, I would mess up 30, 40 minutes in and delete it and go back. Yeah, man, those days, whew, a lot of stressful days. But anyway, Jim Brown was a fullback, right? Yes, he was. Originally, I think the transition took place a little bit. And Jim Brown is tied to Joe Perry because when Joe Perry retired from the NFL, he was the NFL's all-time leading rusher. He was number one. He had 9,723 yards, and that record stood until Jim Brown broke the record. And Jim Brown's record stood for a long time. But, yeah, I mean, he's on that level. You know, 1950s all-decade team. He's from Compton Junior College. Went to play football for the Navy. Now, this isn't Niner stuff. This is just things I want you to know about Joe Perry. He wore 74 for the first 3 years as well. So that's part of it too. Like he was 74, then switched to 34. You know, was literally one of, if not the first main black football player that got nationwide notoriety. He was the first black African-American MVP ever in the NFL. And, you know, if you want to go down the rabbit hole and read about race relations in the NFL, it kind of starts with Joe Perry. And one of my favorite things about it was, you know, he'd go to these different cities and play, you know, in the South and wherever else. And he would talk about being heckled and being called, you know, racial slurs and all that stuff. And, you know, threatened never to come back here. We'll kill you and your family and all that kind of stuff. And he would always pop back. And I respect the hell out of that. And he would always tell him, he said, yeah, same line for every city. Oh, I'm coming back. You better bring your friends and your family. You want to stop me. And like, I freaking love that. I love this man. I love this man. I really, really do. Now, to stick with that, he chose the Niners over the Rams. I never knew this story. Never knew this story. The Rams offered him twice as much money. The Rams offered him $9,500 to join their team. The 49ers only offered $4,500. But he chose the Niners. Why? Culture. It's always been this way. The Niners are the Niners. He chose them because their head coach, Tony Marabito, who was the founder of the 49ers, and Perry described him like he was his father. That is the difference. You took half the money to be a part of this. And he was from Compton. I think this was when Rams were in LA. They move all over the place too. But whatever. Now, talk about just some more firsts that Joe Perry accomplished. First running back ever to have consecutive 1,000 rush yard seasons. Nobody ever did it before him. Ran a 9.5 100 meter dash. I don't know if you know this. That's unreal. The world record at the time was 9.3 by Mel Patton, the great Mel Patton. And so, like, you're talking about, this is why he's called the Jet, right? The dude's just unbelievable. Three seasons, he led the NFL in rush yards. Three seasons, he led the NFL in touchdowns and yards per game. He's still the 49ers leader all-time for rush touchdowns with 68. Gore has 64 right behind him. And just a couple more things. Just, you know, whenever he quit playing football, he competed. He joined the Pro Bowlers Association and competed. He had a career average over 200. Like, this dude just could do anything. Scouted with the Niners for a few years, even did sports radio in the Bay Area. He died April 25th, 2011 in Arizona, where he was born, at the age of 84. And so, like, just awesome, man. I don't know. It's pretty damn hard to talk about Joe Perry on or off the field and not smile. And, you know, I understand I did not do justice to who this man was and what he contributed to this franchise and to this community. And I don't know. If you got time, just Google Joe Perry. You'll be better for it. And I think you'll be a better fan and a better person for it because this is somebody that still inspires. I freaking love it. Ah, I love it. Absolutely love it. Logan, he says, I'm not going to lie, Chapman. I don't see how Isaac Garando fits with this team. You know, Bobby Bobby Turner, Coach Turner, talked about speed. Every time they talked about speed, 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 and coachability. And he also mentioned how, you know, he doesn't have a lot of carries or wear and tear on his body. So that's what he said, home run ability, kickoff return ability, speed, speed, speed. He said it so many times, speed, 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 and coachability. So that's what they would say. I'll keep that for a whole nother episode because I want to dive into these rookies a little bit more, and do them a little bit more justice. I know we all read the scouting reports and stuff after they're drafted, but I think there's a lot more to it than that. But hopefully you guys enjoyed this episode. I really, really did. I'm going to have to do a whole nother two-part series, Return to Normalcy Part 2 or something, because there's a lot more that I want to talk about in recovering, going back to a relatively quiet and chill offseason. And I know a lot of people are going to be out there trying to create chaos because that's how they feed their families, with those clicks and anger and all that stuff. But I'm telling you, shouldn't be feeling that way. You guys are the best. Really appreciate y'all. Thank you for this opportunity. Freaking love today. Man, that was fun. And, you know, something I don't do enough, which I'm really, really bad at, it's not just me doing this. We have a myriad of people that continue to build and help and support the 49ers rush and our team. And so I got to give a shout out to our executive producers, Timothy R., David G., Philip K., Kilted Niner, and 49ers George 365. Without you guys, this show does not happen, especially right now in the middle of May. You are the best. Thank you guys. Till next time, stay strong, faithful.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.